bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
If somehow we could bring the taxpayers of America to the Senate floor.
The president does not believe that the criticism comes based on...
Congressman, that. As your political consultant, I'm sorry you lost.
Let us renew our resolve against those who perpetrated this barbaric act.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
I am a clown.
Right on, boys. Definitely going to wonder who the Canadians are from here on out, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what in bloody blazes it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we bust it down the way it's happening, not the way some people want you to hear it. Not the way these guys that, you know, that you might say the same thing. They say, hey, Phil, aren't you trying to get advertisers? Aren't you trying to get listeners? Yes, I am, with telling you, like, what's happening. I thought I'd try that, you know? Well, what about, like, you know, all of that showmanship? I rely on my bubbly personality. How about that, man? You know? I rely on my sense of humor, my bubbly personality, and the fact that I get my information from...
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
So you know what I'm saying. 877-876, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Before we get into anything else, I wanted to play something for you. You probably heard it, but I want to play it anyway because it gives me great joy, because it makes me feel good. And I'm not unabashed when I say that, and I don't make apologies. And it's amazing that I have to say that I don't make apologies because, like so many other things in this society, we have come to apologize for things that are even our basic right, you know, like gun ownership, jazz like that. But feeling good about our country, stuff like that. Anyway, I do remember what happened on September the 11th, and I do know that the United States military went to Afghanistan and begun the process of killing al-Qaeda, as many as they could find, a bushel, a barrel, a peck, as many as they could find, blow them up where they stood, shoot them down where they walked, decapitate them where they were, I don't know, getting on a bus or maybe taking a roller coaster ride. A video from the 82nd Combat Aviation Brigade captured insurgents installing an IED along a roadside in Afghanistan, which is where al-Qaeda was given all of its aid and comfort by the Taliban. So let's listen now as our operation commanders and the people who are taking a look at these individuals planting these roadside bombs, let's listen as they prepare to deal some justice to these al-Qaeda planting a roadside bomb.
Great. 1015. Are you confident?
Hold on. Here it is. Here's the number one.
Friendlies have suffered the IED attack, and they're definitely taking it to the road.
Is that a kid? Damn it!
And the kid appears to be carrying something over into the vicinity. He's handing him something, and they're digging in that road.
Okay, go away, kid.
All right, we're at 2700.
Yep.
And an individual's moving with a wheelbarrow up to that same area.
Got that guy with the wheelbarrow stopped.
Hey, Fermi, looks like he went down to get water. He's continuing back down to get more water or something. The child brought something to those two individuals that appear to be digging in the road, handed it to him, and moved off at this point.
All right, so you heard the guys saying, damn it, there's a kid there. And so they were upset that they would not be able to do what they were going to do because the child was there. However, the child moved off, as you heard the pilot say, who was preparing this airstrike and these people planting this roadside bomb. But guess what?
Big break. 1015. Are you confident that you have PID on this individual? We see the two digging and with the wheelbarrow at the center.
Roger. I believe that a hostile act. That is in the same areas that we seldom cover something up.
Roger. Can you accept?
Roger. Good copy. They're happy for us.
Oh! Never mind.
Break. It just detonated by itself.
Alpha wind 180.
They just blew themselves up.
They just blew themselves up.
So, you know, every night we get a break. So those stupid bastards blew themselves up. That's the end of that. And everybody went and had a coffee break. And that's the way the day is supposed to go. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, moving back here to the United States and a military matter of a different kind. While our military was there in Afghanistan taking care of al-Qaeda, we had a member of our United States military by the name of Captain Connie Rhodes, who had filed a lawsuit challenging her deployment to Iraq because she questioned the legitimacy of President Barack Obama. U.S. District Judge Clay Land tossed out today, I should say Wednesday, yesterday, tossed out a complaint by an Army captain fighting deployment to Iraq who was questioning the president's legitimacy. Land also put attorney Orly Tates, who represents Captain Connie Rhodes and is a leader in the National Birther Movement, quote-unquote, he put her on notice by stating that she could face sanctions if she ever again files in his court a similar frivolous, his word, lawsuit. A document that at one point the judge stated a middle school student could find irony in. That's quite a rebuke to an attorney. Rhodes, according to the judge, that is Connie Rhodes, Captain Connie Rhodes, has presented no credible evidence and has made no reliable factual allegations to support her unsubstantiated conclusory allegations and conjecture that President Obama is ineligible to serve as President of the United States. Now, what does he mean? Beyond the fact that he told her she's nuts and her attorney to just go away and don't darken his towels again, he's saying, you're saying the president's not legitimate. That's right. Well, prove it. Well, in order for me to prove that, I have to have... Well, then you can't prove it, can you? You don't know for a fact that the president is not legitimate. Well, he hasn't proven. According to the laws of the United States, yes, he has. According to the agencies involved and those who have been traditionally in charge of substantiating these documents, yes, he has. But you don't believe that. You don't accept that. So you claim that he is not president. Okay, fine. Bring into my courtroom your evidence of that. And you're hearing what he's saying here. Presented no reliable factual allegations to support her unsubstantiated conclusory allegations and conjecture that Obama is ineligible to serve as president of the United States. This is Land writing in his order. Instead, he said, she uses her complaint as a platform for spouting political rhetoric, such as her claims that the president is an illegal usurper, an unlawful pretender, and an unqualified imposter. In other words, the words of a gadfly, a borderline mental case. Rhodes, who filed her complaint September the 4th in Columbus Division of the U.S. District Court, argued that some facts point to Obama not being naturalized or possibly an illegal immigrant. By the way, this is a story that WorldNet Daily got on and rode hard, and in the process, editorialized at great length on. And if there ever was any credibility with regard to that operation, it's gone, man. WorldNet Daily, you guys are the World Weekly News, as far as I'm concerned. You got, you know, the National Enquirer. How does it feel, WorldNet Daily, to know that the National Enquirer has more credibility than you? In his order, Land states in a footnote that Obama defeated seven opponents in a grueling primary campaign that cost the contenders more than $300 million. Obama then moved on to the general election, where he faced Senator John McCain, who Land states got $84 million to wage his campaign. In his order, he wrote, it would appear that ample opportunity existed for discovery of evidence that would support any contention that the president was not eligible for the office he sought. The judge adds that Congress hasn't started impeachment proceedings against Obama, appears satisfied that he can hold the office, and has rejected the suggestion that he can't. Orly Tates, who Land says has fueled the birther movement with her litigation, hasn't appeared to have won any of her claims, the judge said. Tates pressed her agenda by filing the complaint on behalf of Rhodes, a doctor who had her final 2 years of medical school paid for by taxpayers, according to Judge Land. Rhodes doesn't want to be discharged, relieved from her 2-year obligation, and hasn't previously complained about any orders she's received, including ones since Obama took office, according to Land. The judge adds that Rhodes' conscientious objections to serving Obama as commander-in-chief can be accommodated if she isn't deployed. The judge specifically addresses Rhodes' birther arguments, including allegations that Obama might have used 149 addresses and 39 Social Security numbers before becoming president, and the existence of what Tates claims is Obama's Kenyan birth certificate. Land says, quote, finally, in a remarkable shifting of the traditional legal burden of proof, and that's quite a slap, in a remarkable shifting of the traditional legal burden of proof, which in a lawsuit rests with the plaintiff, as it does with the prosecution in a criminal case, plaintiff unashamedly alleges that defendant has the burden to prove his natural-born status, Land states. Any middle school civic student would readily recognize the irony of abandoning fundamental principles upon which our country was founded in order to purportedly protect and preserve those very principles. Land goes on to write, unlike in Alice in Wonderland, simply saying something is so does not make it so. And isn't that a lesson, not just from this year, isn't that a lesson from the last 8-9 years and can be applied to anybody in the political arena, left, right, or center? Land ordered that the defendants, which includes Obama, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, and Colonel Thomas McFarland, Fort Benning Garrison Commander, will recover any costs from the complaint from Rhodes. One more thing. I thought I'd play a piece of audio. This is Orly Tates, and we're not the biggest fans of David Schuster here. You might say that this is Orly Tates and David Schuster, and just this is like a train wreck. Here it is.
Okay, so there were two types of birth certificates. One proper birth certificate from hospital, another that came from a parent. As a matter of fact, a parent could have just filled out a form and lied.
What?
If Obama was born in Kenya and the mother wanted to lie and she didn't want to go through immigration, she didn't want to pay immigration attorney, she would fill out the form saying, my son was born in Honolulu, mail it or bring it to the health department. They take
I get your point, but just so we're clear, so your allegation, Orly, your allegation here is that Barack Obama's family was somehow motivated to lie to Hawaii officials, including Orly. You got to give me a second here. I just want to understand.
Don't let me finish. No, Orly, I don't, because you are unable to listen. I didn't even get to the newspapers. Let me explain. Your listeners need to know the truth. They're sick of the lies coming from the mainstream media.
Nasty.
All right, so anyway, coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 877-876-PHIL. Obama supports extending some controversial provisions of the Patriot Act. So this guy's a super liberal, isn't he? 877-876-PHIL, where truth is our bitch, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil and
Master.
Number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go to some phone calls here now. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. And we are streaming live video online right now, and it will be available on demand tomorrow as well. So if you are listening to our show but you're not a Backstage Pass member, go get the Backstage Pass, and you can check out tonight's show tomorrow morning. In fact, you can do that with our audio as well, and you can download the audio too, as well as hundreds and hundreds of hours of other audio clips. PhilHendryShow.com. Here's Joe in Brooklyn. Joe, what's on your mind tonight?
Yes, I would like to quickly just say I'm on a job right now, and I was driving a car, company car, typically the radio, out, and I'm out of breath right now. Landed on your show.
Are you running or are you driving a car? You're really driving
right
a car?
Now, right now, I just walked up the stairs. I'm sorry.
But, okay, all right.
First time I've ever heard it, and I got to say, I'm impressed.
Oh, well, thank you. Anything in particular?
You got to listen for life.
Oh, hey, Robert, Joe, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Well, what in particular do you appreciate?
Well, the fact that, as you stated, you got to look at things scientifically, not, just use the word socialism just because you hear it and think it's true because you saw it on TV.
Right.
And, I got to point more people to the show because it's scientific and it's truth.
Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's highly emotional. But I think when we're looking at these issues, especially when we keep using these words and it becomes so knee-jerk, we do have to look at the facts a little more carefully. Joe, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate that. 877-876. Let's move up to Mark in Los Angeles. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil, or should I call you Mr. Bubbly?
Well, I guess whatever floats your boat.
Hey, I just wanted to...
If you're getting in the tub with me...
I'm glad I've got the free... What's that?
No, nothing. I called you an a-hole, but you didn't hear me. No, I didn't.
Oh,
go ahead,
okay.
Sir. What's your comment?
It was with love, Phil. No,
I know it was. I appreciate it.
I saw the Michael Moore film tonight, Capitalism, A Love Story, and it was kind of interesting because I just happened to turn on the radio and you were talking about, you know, people commenting about socialism, and I just think that, I mean, it's a really amazing film because it shines a light on, you know, they talk about this redistribution of wealth. Well, basically, it goes from us, you know, the like the middle class or the poor, to the very wealthy, and you know, it really has become our country is just run by, you know, corporatists.
Where does it go after that? Where does it go after that?
Where does the money go?
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop with the wealthy. Where does it go after that?
I have no idea. I mean, to their yachts and, you know, who knows?
Oh, but to their yachts. So in other words, you got a job, right? I have a job.
Just barely.
I'm self-employed, so... that money goes from the poor to the middle class and then to me, but I'm still middle class. And then I take that money and I invest it back into my business.
Right.
And I pay myself a salary, but I invest it back into my business.
Sure.
Now, I don't know what your job is, but I'm sure you would admit that the wealthy then take that money, some of the wealthy, maybe you don't think enough of them, or maybe too many, and they invest it back into these businesses. Now, as big or as small a business is, it's always a collection of people. You know, take a look at GM, which so many people might look at as a classic example, poster child of malfeasance and stupidity when it comes to large corporations. And yet, you know, and I know, at the end of the day, that's a company of lots and lots of people, a lot of blue collar guys, a lot of working people. So corporations are not necessarily evil if they employ people and enrich them and allow them to have a life.
But I think the basic problem, excuse me for interrupting, is
no, that's all right.
you've heard the concept that, you know, corporations by law have to make a profit. And so how they do it, I mean, sometimes that becomes the real issue. I mean, I've worked harder now than I've ever worked in my entire life. I make less money and it's just I don't know.
I don't know the facts of your life. I don't know the facts of your life. I mean, I can hear a lot of people tell me that. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that it you know, you're probably getting screwed, Mark, or the economy isn't doing well.
Know.
Or maybe there's
know.
Some failing some failing on your part. You know what I'm saying?
But, you know,
I mean, are we looking at all of the things here?
I don't look as myself as getting screwed. But I look at that. Just the way things are going, and I think you have a group of people that buy into this concept that socialism is bad, and we're constantly fed this, that, you know, socialism.
It is. I think socialism as an idea is bad.
But Phil, what people do is they vote against their best interest. You know, they think, oh God, we don't want to have socialized. Well, okay, I'm not bombing you with everyone, but. You know,
can I say something? They may be voting against socialized medicine, but they voted in favor of a public school system. They voted in favor of Social Security. They voted in favor of unemployment insurance. What's going on here is a turn of the millennium fear of government, and socialized medicine has always been seen by a large majority of Americans as an example of that. So it's quite a large step that people are frightened of. They're not necessarily educated. They're frightened. Now, having said all of that, I agree we do need a national health plan. I must tell you, though, that you need to get your information from someone other than a notorious propagandist like Michael Moore, who has no problem editing and redirecting, you know, information so it comes out the right way. He's a joke, man. He's not a documentarian.
No, but Phil, I took my nephew, who is a staunch conservative. He went and saw this thing, and a light went on for him. I mean, this film, yeah, granted... Michael Moore gets a lot of bad press, but in looking at
with good reason, he gets bad press because Michael Moore has discredited himself with the work that he's done by manipulating in very obvious ways information that he has, so it comes out Michael Moore. That is not a documentarian. That may be a satirist, and that may be a storyteller, and that might be a guy who weaves interesting fantasies. But as a documentarian, he simply doesn't exist. He is a propagandist at the very least. I thank you very much for your call, Mark, and I'm not trying to preempt you, man. Socialism, if it's necessary, we can certainly use it. I don't see anywhere in the world, although I'm not educated in other countries, let me just limit my comments to America. I don't see America needing socialism. I see America needing better business people, better inventors, better designers, better teachers. I see this country in dire need of a new generation of industry leaders, private sector industry leaders. Thank you. All right.
It was great, Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. I got to get off the air here before I belch.
Phil Hendry.
Great, Mr. Henry.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Every night here at 877-876-PHIL, we make truth our bitch. It's the only thing we care about on this show. You got to, either you want to know what's going on. See, a lot of people think that we can mess around with the information, that they don't have to get the right information, that they don't have to really know what's going on, that we can operate this country, administer this country, that we can protect and serve this country using half-truths and half the information and suspicion and innuendo. That's the plan. That's the plan. That's the plan. Is Obama going to give insurance to illegals? No, he is not. Well, I think that's a lie. So you want to proceed on the basis of you think that's a lie? I happen to have... Well, what is your information? My information is... Well, there's no enforcement provision. Well, there may not be an enforcement provision, but is that saying that he's going to give insurance? Well, you know that we cover those people now anyway. We do cover those people now because it is against the law to refuse medical help to someone who's dying. But we're talking about the health insurance. We're talking about the National Health Exchange. We're talking about the national plan. We're talking about private illegals. Get that stuff. I don't understand. I know you don't understand, so why don't you shut up long enough and let somebody explain it to you? Well, I have a tea party I've got to go to, and the Obama administration, and by the way, speaking of the very, very liberal, almost flamingly pink liberal president, President Obama, the Obama administration supports extending three key provisions of the Patriot Act. I didn't say eliminate, I said extending three key provisions of the Patriot Act that are due to expire at the end of the year, according to the U.S. Justice Department. And the U.S. Justice Department informed Congress in a letter on Tuesday that was made public, much to, I'm sure, the shock and the horror of a great many of the lawmakers there. And a great many people who said, boy, that Patriot Act, man, that Bush and that Patriot Act, that's just one more bit of proof that Bush, we are sliding into fascism. Oh, my God. I swear to God, I thought I was going to eat my own face, man, during all those years listening to people ad nauseum, listening to these imbeciles talking about the constitutionality of the Patriot Act. I got news for you. The Patriot Act's been around since what, 2001? There has been, I believe, one area of the Patriot Act that was questioned constitutionally. There was another area, and when I say area, it might even be a paragraph that was judged to be unconstitutional, but not by the Supreme Court, by a lower court, so it is still being adjudicated. That's it. In 8 years, that's it. You would think that if the Patriot Act was the abomination that everybody said it was, there would be lawyers falling all over themselves, man, from every law firm, from every pro bono group, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah.
It's all right. From every group, man, they'd be looking to turn this thing into toilet paper come sundown. And they've had 8 years to do it. And one more thing. Bush ain't president anymore. So there's no Justice Department hamstringing it, right? Obama's the president. And it's the Obama Justice Department. And guess what's happened? He's extending three key provisions by executive order. How do you make sense of this? If you're an individual that felt George Bush was the worst president in the history of the country, and you pined for the days that a new progressive, dare I say, black president would take office. And how would you explain this? Were you someone who was deathly afraid of a new Democrat president, a new Democratic liberal president, one who might even have the progressive stripe? One whole, oh God, our country's in trouble now, and here he is. He's blowing everybody's minds. You want to know why? Because I don't think Obama's got time to listen to either side, man. I don't think he's got the time to give to either side of this Mad Hatter Tea Party that passes for public discourse. Lawmakers and civil rights groups have been pressing the Democratic administration to say whether it wants to preserve the post-September 11th law's authority to access business records as well as monitor so-called lone wolf terrorists and conduct roving wiretaps. The provision on business records was long criticized by rights groups as giving the government access to citizens' library records. Never mind that the government's had access to citizens' library records for years. You know which citizens' library records have been subject to access? Oh, I don't know. Members of criminal organizations, the mafia. What they're asking for is the right to go into the private library records. How many of you guys have a library card, by the way, of individuals that may not be affiliated with or suspected of being affiliated with criminal organizations like the mafia? No, we're talking about people that might be affiliated with criminal organizations like Al-Qaeda. Why are we drawing a line at the mafia and saying those guys are subject to being wiretapped and looked at and have a microscope stuck up their rear ends, but Al-Qaeda, no, leave them alone? Why is it the Hell's Angels? As we bring up the Hell's Angels on this show for a very important reason. This motorcycle club has never, ever, ever been found guilty of being a criminal organization. Never. And yet people, and of course they've been so maligned, so people assume that they are. And so when you hear someone say, well, we wiretapped the Hell's Angels clubhouse, or we wiretapped the clubhouse of this outlaw motorcycle gang or that, people just let it slide, man. Some of the same stupid bastards that are all urinating themselves over Obama extending the provisions of the Patriot Act, they don't give a damn about whether the Angels get their clubhouse wiretapped, because after all, most of the Angels would probably kick their asses if they ever saw them out on the street, right? So I guess they're not the right political stripe or something. As a presidential candidate, Barack Obama said he would take a close look at the law based on his past experience in U.S., based on his past expertise in U.S. Constitutional law. Back in May, President Obama said legal institutions must be updated to deal with the threat of terrorism, but in a way that preserves the rule of law and accountability. In a letter to lawmakers, Justice Department officials said the administration supports extending the three expiring provisions of the law, although they're willing to consider additional privacy protections as long as they don't weaken the effectiveness of the law. What he's basically done is he has agreed with George Bush on the viability and importance of the Patriot Act. So, I don't know, suck on that. You lose another one. People that, Obama's going to lead us, and the T-shirts and the balloons. I listened to that man in the campaign. I will never tire of saying this. I listened to what he said. I heard the things that he talked about. I knew that he wanted a national health plan. This is not a shock. A lot of people went for it. He won. He wants that. But I also heard him talk about these other things having to do with national security. I was very comfortable casting a vote for him based on that, because I wanted to make sure the country was protected, and I knew that he would. But nobody else listened to it. All they saw was a big-eared black guy with some socialism thing going on, right? 877-876-PHIL. Let's get to a phone call here, man. I did want to tell you about Lou Dobbs. Maybe we'll have some time, but we got Kim in Columbus, Ohio. Kim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. I had a comment about an earlier issue concerning Obama throwing money at the public educational system and how it has failed miserably to result in any, you know, more intelligence.
Has thrown money at the public education system, and it hasn't. Obama's been president since January of 2009.
Correct.
You are listening to a different show. Thanks so much for your call, though.
My point is the parochial schools and self, you know, people that are homeschooled are generally people who are smarter. So you're going to get better results from homeschooling.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Not true at all.
This is the contention of this show's person who was talking.
Yeah, this show's dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Not true at all.
Until you prevent people from procreating who are stupid, excuse my language, then you're not going to have an impact on the public school system. The public school system has to accept everybody. So the gene pool is limited, and the public school system is limited by the gene pool. And they were just talking about teacher salaries.
Kind of like talk radio, kind of like talk radio and the callers we get. It's the same thing. I'm not saying you. I'm just, you know, we live with what we get. You're right.
You know, people go off and, you know, you can't throw money at
anything. Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
you're right.
You have to be more creative about how you teach people. And this generation of children are going to be the least creative of all of them because everything is pretty much thought of and done for them, and they're not required to go out and, you know, take sticks and, you know, make a fork. But, you know, I'm very worried about this generation. They don't seem to be able to think about anything unique.
What culpability would you attribute to the parents in that equation?
Huge, myself included.
Okay, all right. I agree with you, Kim. I agree with you. Kim, if you want to be on the Phil Hendry show, he talks. I don't know what Mike does, but... I agree with you, and I would go further, as I've said on my show, the Phil Hendry show, which you should be listening to. This is the most objectionable and pathetic generation of parents yet in the history of this country.
They have
crippled their children. They have turned these children into the very thanks for your call. Wow. Hey, Michael Savage, dude, if you can handle that kind of caller, man. In fact, I think you would have hung up on her sooner. I don't need to get off on that. All right, let me tell you the Lou Dobbs story before we can move on to the stories we couldn't get to. Several liberal groups, including Media Matters, are calling on CNN to drop talk show host and frequent illegal immigrant critic Lou Dobbs, who is broadcasting his radio show from a conference put on by what some activists refer to as a hate group. The coalition pushing for Dobbs's ouster called itself dropdobbs.org. It includes Media Matters, the Hispanic Institute, the New Democrat Network, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and the National Council of La Raza. Dobbs is among 45 radio talk show hosts who attend the rally hosted by the Federation of American Immigration Reform, otherwise known as FAIR. FAIR has been branded a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which asserts, among other things, that FAIR has ties to white supremacists. FAIR, meanwhile, vigorously rejects the center's label. I got to tell you, and unless I'm missing my mark here or my guess, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I don't know what the Hispanic Institute is. I wouldn't know these people if they were on fire. I don't know what the New Democratic Network is, and I don't know. And Media Matters is Media Matters. It's a joke. It's a liberal website that purports to fact check. Ladies and gentlemen, I think even people at Daily Coast would laugh at the New Republic. People at Fox News, people at WorldNet Daily might even laugh, although I highly doubt it, at the notion of them fact-checking anything. If you are a obviously politically biased website or site of any kind, you're not fact-checking anything. Nobody's going to buy your fact-checking unless it's somebody that wants to agree with what you have to say. Media Matters is a pretend fact-checked site, which basically wants to promote a certain political point of view. That's cool. But the same thing with that guy Brent Bozell's site. He calls himself a media watchdog group. And he's not a media watchdog group. That guy wouldn't know a watchdog man from a poodle. All that cat does is make sure that the certain political point of view that he represents is promoted. So the rest of those people are idiots. But I do respect the Southern Poverty Law Center because they've done great work. They've done courageous work in neutralizing a lot of hate in this country, organized hate, murderous hate, down through the years. And the Southern Poverty Law Center asserts, among other things, that FAIR has ties to white supremacists. The event in question is the annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire rally in Washington, in which the 45 talk show hosts and other immigration hardliners are calling on legislators to ensure that illegal immigrants do not receive amnesty. Now, why are they singling out Lou Dobbs? Because Lou Dobbs is probably the best known of all these guys there. But more to the point, Lou is on CNN, which some people in the progressive movement, the liberal movement, consider their network. In every bit as much as some conservatives think Fox News is their network. To ask CNN to make an editorial decision and fire Lou Dobbs is blatant bias. How do you feel comfortable doing something like that? Well, you feel comfortable doing something like that if you can tie Lou Dobbs to something unacceptable, and they believe they have this with this sponsorship by FAIR. Now, if you want to talk about FAIR, let's talk about FAIR. I don't know that Lou, to be honest with you, either knows the reputation of FAIR or some of the specifics about FAIR or cares. I think he has a message, and I think his decision is the following. I don't give a damn who's sponsoring this thing. I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to do my thing. That probably is a mistake because it just puts more fuel on the fire for people who want him fired. But it's pretty funny to me that anybody thinks they get talk show hosts fired. I'm going to repeat that. It's funny to me that anyone believes or thinks they can get a talk show host fired, either on television or radio. Because as we've pointed out over and over and over again, and I'd be happy to point this out to Media Matters, these guys, it embarrasses me that they call themselves Media Matters. You wouldn't know, you don't know anything about my business, my work. And the same thing with you, Bozell. I work in the media. You don't. You don't know the difference between an entertainment-driven show and a commentary-driven show, a show that is political, a show that is humorous. You jackasses and your monitoring of radio, you've ruined the radio business. You've ruined, I mean absolutely ruined the radio business. All that's left now in my business on the talk radio dial is mediocrity that breaks all records, man. That's the only thing these people have the guts to hire now because of jackasses like you. But no one gets any talk show host fired. Only sponsors, or the lack thereof. So Al Sharpton did not get Don Imus fired. Don Imus got Don Imus fired. The fact is, the sponsors reacting to the upheaval got Don Imus fired. More to the point, they took a look at his ratings, which weren't all that great. That got him fired. And any cat that says something unacceptable on the air doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get fired. It means that you have to first take a look at how many listeners or viewers he has and then take a look at his sponsorship list and how many of them are dropping. Lou Dobbs ain't going no place, Media Matters. I thought I'd let you know before you continue to embarrass yourself by attaching your name to this jackball group of people. All right. We'll be back with the stories we couldn't get to coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I got the sucker.
I am a clown.
I am gay.
And I'm like, oh, snaps.
Time now for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show stories we couldn't get to here. And tonight we have this story from Spain. You know Spain. That's where they were doing those slant-eyed photographs and laughing about how the Chinese looked that way. And everybody's going, "What are you people nuts? I mean, this is the 21st century, and then they use the N-word. Yeah, that's Spain. A court in Spain says insulting your boss with one particular foul obscenity is not grounds for dismissal, insisting the slight is common in arguments in Spain and not that big a deal. The zinger in question translates as son of a bitch and was used by a worker against his boss during a January 2008 money dispute in the northeastern city of Girona. The worker, who also called his boss crazy, was promptly fired. The man lost a first court challenge, but won an appeal with the Superior Court of Justice of Catalonia in February. The ruling said the worker should either be reinstated at his job or receive 6,483 euros in compensation. It's not known which option the employer picked. Without a doubt, both expressions are insulting. Judge Sarah Maria Posey Ravi the Jeez.
I got a lot of long names over there.
Judge Sarah Maria Posey Vidal said in the ruling, Judge Gore Vidal said in the ruling, anyway, she noted that when the man called his boss crazy, he'd been on his way out of the office and the boss didn't hear it. She also wrote that the son of a bitch remark should be viewed in linguistic context. The social degradation... Oh, forget it, man. You know what? I was just going to say this, though. Spain's really different from America because if a cat says, you know, son of a bitch here, actually calls a boss that, then you have to think, is this guy cracked because he's using this kind of language in a workplace, which is not acceptable. I don't give a damn what part of the world. And is he going to go and get his shotgun and come back and you know what, right? So I think I need to fire him and then, you know, go get my gun. Shreveport, Louisiana, police say a man impersonating an officer with a flashing red light in his car has been arrested after he pulled over the wrong driver, the mayor of Shreveport. Police think the suspect was using the in-dash light to maneuver through traffic Monday night in northwest Louisiana. Mayor Cedric Glover says he pulled over when she drove behind him, but the fake officer then sped away. Glover says she followed the car and called police. Daniel Niederhelman.
Phil Hendry.
Is that it?
Yeah. Visit us online at talkradionetwork.com. Bye.